Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the Behind the Barricade podcast. And here are your hosts, John O'Connor and Daniel Tao.
Hey everyone, welcome to the 8th episode of the Behind the Barricade podcast. My name is John O'Connor, and I'm here with Daniel Tao. This episode, we talk with Justin DiRico, the owner of Boonton, New Jersey's amazing venue, Boontoons, and also the drummer of the funk and experimental band, Hot Pink Apocalypse. The original conversation, on air and off air, went for over 5 hours. We caught 2 hours of it on air and decided to break it up into two parts. Part one, we discussed the origins of Boontoons, the different obstacles that occur with owning a venue, his take on booking bands, and more. If you really enjoyed this episode, next week's part two will be just as enjoyable. Without further ado, here's episode 8 with our guest, Justin DiRico.
What's going on, everybody? This is John O'Connor of Behind the Barricade, and I'm with
Daniel Tao.
And our very special guest, he's the owner of Boontoons up here in Boonton, New Jersey, and also the drummer of Hot Pink Apocalypse, excuse me, Mr. Justin DiRico. How's it going, Justin?
What up, dude?
Everything was great until you messed up the name of my band. You know, I just...
Yep, interview over.
Yeah, I feel like I'm done here.
The human papilloma virus, yeah. Is that what it is?
Wait, is that
what?
HPA?
No.
Is it?
Wait, HPV.
Oh, jeez, what are we talking about?
It hasn't even been 30 seconds and you guys are talking about STDs. Though it's not STD anymore, you know, it's STI.
Yeah,
STI?
Infection. It's not a disease.
It's not a disease, infection. It's an infection.
Why? Why couldn't it just be STD?
I don't know. Either way, I don't like it.
Maybe they feel like a disease is something you don't catch from someone, like an infection you catch that from.
Like it's like your fault.
Yeah.
Okay,
yeah.
I get it. But then, you know, they say that, well, I don't want to speak poorly about alcoholism, but they say alcoholism is a disease, but like...
Yeah, you get that from drinking.
I don't understand that either. Like, well, then how do you get that? How do you get that disease? Mm-hmm. Or is it from
hereditary,
drinking?
I guess.
Is it? Is it actually in your DNA?
I'm like guessing
some,
it is.
That's what they're saying, that some people are more prone... Because there's a reason that I can drink, which I don't anyway, but there's a reason that I'm able to drink and say, this isn't from... Or, okay, I'm good, I've had enough. Mm-hmm. And then there's other people who, like, they can't say they had enough.
Yeah. No.
Like, they can't control that. They probably wish they could.
Mm-hmm.
So, but, yeah. Hey, so kids, don't drink.
Yes. And please come to Boontoons.
Please.
In the heart of Boonton, New Jersey.
Yeah, and there is no drinking at Boontoons, although it's been snuck in here and there. I actually had an issue even like last week. This dude tried to come in with a full glass of beer, a pint glass, from up the street.
And just not hiding it whatsoever.
Literally wasn't hiding it at all. First off, it was obvious he was, you know, messed up because he was extremely stumbly. You know, he was all over the place. But then, like, I look and I'm just like, the guy's literally holding it in his hand. And it's just like, what? Like, I go right up to him.
He's holding
like, hey,
a
man.
Glass boot.
I mean, if he had it in a glass boot, I would have been like, dude, nice boot. What do you got in there? Ginger ale? No? Beer? You got to go.
Hey, you got to chug it.
Yeah.
Don't forget to twist it.
Yeah. I actually had a glass boot. Just, you know, while we're on the subject, it was years ago. I wasn't in HPA. I was in a band before that. We were chilling in my garage, and my mom's got all this cool stuff. So it was a boot, and it always made this cool glug, because, like, the bottom, like, when you took a sip, would, like, get airspace, but when we put the boot back down, there'd be, like, a big bubble. So it'd make this, like, big bubble and, like, make this cool noise. Anyway, I was out of band practice or something, and I foolishly knocked the boot onto the ground.
Oh.
And, like, that boot was around forever, and, like, I loved it. It was my favorite thing ever. And I swear, I cried.
I don't blame you.
I cried. Like, literally, we get a phone call from New York. Yeah, I'm definitely not answering that.
Yeah, that's definitely legit.
I think I need to go to airplane mode. We're flying on an airplane right now. So, yeah that makes it perfect.
Well, with the mood lighting in here, obviously, it's the theater of the mind for all of you people listening. But right now, it's extremely awesome mood lighting. You
it's
have
beautiful.
LEDs, yeah, some white LEDs.
LEDs. It's actually not true white, Dan. It's I believe it's called amber. I'm not sure. It's actually, to get white out of the LEDs, it's apparently a combination of all the colors.
Really?
So it's a combination of all the spectrum to get white. Mm-hmm. But true white light, you would need to get a different type of LED. It's tough to get. So when that looks like it's white, and if you were to get a real white light and put it up against that, you'll see that that's like more of a yellowish. But apparently it's all the colors together combined to get white light, mm-hmm. which I thought was interesting.
Which is weird because there's a lot of light colors, a lot of dark colors, and you would think like if you put it all together,
it would be like black. It would be like mess. Like if you were to take all the colors like paint, what happens when you mix everything together? Doesn't it basically makes black?
It's the other end of the spectrum here,
right?
Yeah.
So we're talking about light, and it's totally different. It's a combination of all the colors to make white light.
Yeah.
We're talking about science today.
Incredible lighting here at Boontoons, located in the heart of Boonton, New Jersey.
So is there any particular brand that you would say you went for when you went for lighting? Or
the lights, you know what? Those strip lights back there, you can just get them on Amazon. Mm-hmm. They come in like 25 feet. You can get them in, actually it's like 25 and like 6 inches. I just thought it was weird. I was like, can we just make this 25 feet, please? Yeah. Like,
or 26.
Either one. But you can get them like that. You can get them in 50. And like, they're basically like I think it's just like $50. I mean, like for $50, like you can see the big one back there,
mm-hmm. yeah.
like still pretty cool for $50.
Oh,
I mean, like
comes
with a controller. It's got, you know, it has other functions. It comes in handy big time when you turn the white light on, which I do in between sets so that it's brighter,
mm-hmm.
so that you can see what's going on over there when bands are playing, mm-hmm. Or when they're not playing. Yeah, it really lights up the area, because I don't actually have any lights down there anyway. All the lights that are on the ceiling over here kind of end by that point.
Mm-hmm.
So I knew I needed more light down there anyway, plus that's where bands are playing, so I needed it to look cooler. So I was like, I'll get some lights up there. So honestly, like, just those two strip lights and then the two DJ light type things I got in the back. When you come to a show, like, for sure, you'll be like, all right, now it really looks awesome. And that's one of the things a lot of people have been saying, too. They're like, honestly, even though you don't have that many lights...
Mm-hmm.
They were like, your light show was awesome.
Well, I was going to say, the good
bands
thing is...
love it.
The good thing is you don't have the lights that are on the ceiling, like, blaring
they're
you
in the
face.
They're not blaring in your face.
Or they're not really hot. Like, those are, like, perfect.
Right. They do enough.
Yeah.
I'm all about simplicity anyway. Mm-hmm. Like, I was at a venue in New York a few months, weeks. I can't remember. I can't keep track of time these days.
Which one? PlayStation?
It used to be Best Buy. It is PlayStation now.
Mm-hmm. And it used to be Nokia.
Yep. I remember when it was Nokia. That place changes names quite often, right?
Yes, very often.
Yeah.
I wonder why.
I don't know. Mm-hmm. Who knows?
Well, it's in the heart of Times Square, so I'm sure
it's
rent is through the roof.
Yeah.
Can you imagine? Yeah. I would imagine they make money pretty easily.
Oh, they're a popular venue.
Right?
A lot of the bands I know, they sell out. Like, if you go to Starland, you basically a week, couple days before, you can get tickets. PlayStation Theater, they're sold out.
Yeah.
They're going to sell out, you know?
It's a nice place. It's mm-hmm. it's a good place. It's in a good location.
Busy location.
Yeah.
So someone could be walking by, like, obviously there's a lot of people in New York City. They could be walking by, boom, you know, shit, Nirvana's playing here. Well, obviously not playing,
right.
Lady Singer's Dead, but they're playing here. Let's go see
Nirvana cover band. Nirvana,
exactly,
yes.
Or something like that, yeah.
Nirvana.
Not.
Holy shit, is that Kurt Cobain?
Yeah. No, but seriously, so I'm like watching a show there, and although the lights are amazing, and I'm sure I'm sure it's easily like $30,000 to $50,000 worth of lighting in there.
Mm-hmm.
The lights really are awesome, but it gets to a point where, like, even sometimes I'm like, okay, like, there's like 50,000 lasers pointing at my face right now. You know, like, I'm not a big fan of lasers either. I found that I don't like lasers.
Mm-hmm.
Like, any kind of laser lighting that points towards me, or at least when I used to even use this stupid little laser light thing I bought for the band a few years ago, we would use it, and anytime it pointed anywhere near me, I feel like it affected my sight. Like, it bothered my eyes, even though it wasn't, like, shining right in my eyes. But, like, ever since then, I, like, have a thing against lasers. But anyway, I still go to shows. But, like, it got to a point where it's just, like, how many lights you want in your face? You know what I mean?
That's
like,
true.
It's enjoyable to watch the band, but lights really are a big part of a show.
Yeah,
I mean, lights and music, like, you know, it really... Like, if you were to watch a show of an awesome band, and it was just a poorly lit room, or a really even well-lit room, let's say really bright,
mm-hmm.
no change in ambiance.
Mm-hmm.
Like, yeah, you've got the sound. The band could bring a lot of energy. Like I said, when you're here, like, look, there's not even a band playing over there right now, right?
Mm-hmm.
But just watching the slow change of color already is almost, I don't want to say exciting.
Dude, I feel like I should be on acid right now.
Well, I kind of thought you were when you first got here. Maybe you were just tired. I don't know. But,
quote unquote, tired.
Yeah, I'm really tired.
I'm really tired,
hey,
bro.
Look, we've
fish?
All used that excuse before, right? I've probably used it 1,000 times. You're like, Justin, are you okay? Oh, I'm really tired. Why do your eyes look like that? You know, well, I didn't get enough sleep.
I rubbed them way too much.
Yeah, I was in a hot tub. Which actually, you know, when you do get out of a hot tub for a while, I think the chlorine just being hot, You do have really bloodshot eyes.
Mm-hmm. It does make sense.
Definitely.
It does. That's actually no joke. When I was like 18, 19, driving one of my girlfriends home. One of them.
Well, of course.
Because I have multiple at the same time.
So I had like three.
No, the one girlfriend I had at the time, we were actually coming from my friend's house, and we were in a hot tub, chilling out, just hanging out. I wasn't messed up. I get pulled over. I don't remember why. I think it was just super late at night. Mm-hmm. And cop comes up to the window, does the normal, you know,
license registration.
And he's like, you got anything in the car? I'm like, what are you talking about? He's like, what have you been doing tonight? And I was like, I was at a friend's house. And he's like, why do your eyes look that way? I was like, why do they look like what? And he's like, they're pretty red. And I'm like, I was in a hot tub for like an hour or two. It's probably that. Mm-hmm. Made me get out of the car and everything. Brings me to the back of the car. He's like, listen, man, it'll be a lot easier if you just tell me, you know, what you did. I'm just like, I have nothing to tell you. I just told you.
I love how they try to guilt you into saying, like, yeah. I went in a hot tub and that's really
yeah, like, I'm sorry for trying to relax my muscles, sir. thanks for making me stand out here in the cold, you know, for 20 minutes asking me questions. But this isn't, let's get off the cop subject, because I love police officers.
So I'm sure we're wondering, what made you want to open a venue and what made you choose Boontoons?
That's a good question. That's a very good question, Dan. I'm glad you came up with it. John's over here like, I didn't write down the question.
Motherfucker, you asked it first. No, that's what it is.
But that's an obvious good question. So, as we know, this space was the Canvas Clash for, I think it was 3 years.
Mm-hmm. We all played here.
Yeah.
Autobiography of Man played here twice.
Oh, cool.
Yeah.
Yeah, no, HPA played our very first show here.
Wow. Dude, mine was here too.
Get out.
Yes,
dude.
It was.
So there's the value right there. Yeah. Like, my first show could have been anywhere. Your first show could have been anywhere as well. Mm-hmm. But still, like, for a local area, this makes sense anyway, because this is an easy place to get to if you live somewhere near.
Booton's a great area.
Booton's an awesome spot. There's a lot going on around here. It's easily accessible off Route 287.
Parking sucks, but
parking does suck. I absolutely agree with you, and so does every other business owner on the street. I was actually talking to John about that earlier when I asked him where he parked. I was like, where did you park? Because, like, you know, a lot of people, like, they don't get it. They're like, hey, can I park here? Can I park here? I'm like, yes, it's fine as long as it's after 7. It's tough because this area doesn't really have a lot of room for parking lots. But anyway, back to why I came here. So, yeah, my first show here with HPA, it's funny. I think I wore this hot pink wig when I played. And That's awesome that you noticed over there. Yeah. So that wig over there on that mannequin head is the wig that I bought at Party City to wear for our show.
There you go.
For our first show. And, dude, 3 of the videos from that show are online, and they're on your YouTube.
Yeah.
They're on your YouTube.
Not
your
HBA's YouTube. Always connected with our guests.
I don't know.
Do you still use that YouTube?
Yeah, of course.
And that's, like, your personal YouTube?
Well, yeah, because I've literally filmed almost every show that I've went to with a Zoom camera. My favorite bands, I go there, I'm like, I need to film this because one of these days I'm probably going to want to watch this.
Do you ever watch them?
No, but when I do, if I did, when
How many
I do,
shows you
like
have
I
on
did
there?
Once, dude, probably,
must be hundreds.
Probably over hundreds.
Yeah.
But dude, some of them, it's like if you film the first time that this band has played the song, you'll get tens of thousands of views on it.
Right.
But yours, like after a couple weeks, you're like, oh shit,
That
got 400 views.
Yeah.
Like, yeah, that's not a lot, but for a band that is not really well known from, obviously it was your first show.
Right. Well, if I put that on my own page, I'd be lucky to get 40 or 50 in a couple days. So putting it on your page was actually a super big help
because I've had
your page was a bit more established. You have more views. You probably have more followers and subscribers.
Mm-hmm. I think I have like 86, like over 90,000 views, which is not a lot. But
well, I mean, in my mind, that's a lot.
Oh, exactly. But like I said,
listen, Dan, for a nobody like you, that's a lot.
Thanks.
Hey, who are you calling a nobody?
Hey. I said Dan's the nobody.
Yes, that's correct.
But Dan, thank you for setting up all this equipment and getting GarageBand.
He really does a great job with all
this. He really does. Yeah. Then again, my tripod over there holding your camera.
Yeah.
Yep.
And the two mic stands were mine.
And the outlet that's powering my Mac.
The outlet. Technically not mine, but part of the venue.
Stolen, okay.
So back to your question. It was probably 10 minutes
We're
by
going
now.
Back again. Yes.
We're going back. Actually,
this is what we do.
Yeah. Hey, you know what? I'm down. I'm down with this. This is my style. Being Canvas Clash already, I wasn't trying to
reinvent the wheel.
Yeah, wasn't going to say, okay, I'm going to open up because I want to do exactly what Canvas Clash did, or I want to be the Canvas Clash, because I wasn't even thinking that at that point. The Canvas Clash had been closed for, I think, about a full year.
And it was a fire reason, right? Didn't get up to fire code, I believe.
I don't know if it was fire code, or I think Nick just had enough of it. I think maybe just 3 years of running a venue, and it's like, you know what? I'd like to do something different.
Yeah.
I know what he's been doing since then was pretty cool. He's got this thing called Time to Climb. He does a lot of rock climbing. He does a lot of other stuff too, but I think it appears to be mainly based around rock climbing. Seems pretty cool. I've never done much rock climbing, but it's a pretty intense sport. I think just 3 years of being a music venue, and I can actually see, like, I haven't even been here a year, and some of the things I've encountered already in the more annoying, you know, a lot of it's good, a lot of it's fun.
Oh, absolutely.
But there's a lot of stuff that you that I didn't anticipate.
Like what?
Just
general.
Like I mentioned about that tar spill.
Yes.
Like, messed up my rug. Could cost me a lot of money. Now I got to argue with the neighbor. You know what I mean? It's just like, that's just one dumb example.
Yeah.
You know, tar spills all over the sidewalk during a show, and now my carpet's ruined, and it could cost me a lot of money.
Mm-hmm.
Neighbors complain, which they don't, but they could. Yes. I heard that they will, but no one's complained yet. So I don't know if I'm doing something better. But when I first met with the town, they were like really strict, you know, which I understand, you know, like, okay, they don't know me. They don't know what my real intentions of, my business are going to be. The only other thing that I've done that seems to have bothered anyone is the people who live on this side of me. They have like a studio, so I can't really make a lot of noise while they're there during the day if they have recording going on, because
yeah,
they might
be
making a commercial or whatever it is they're doing, and they have very sensitive equipment over there. So like even just loud music from my PA.
Just like these mics.
Yeah, our
exactly.
Mics
so
up,
imagine
yeah.
what theirs are over there, just on the other side of the wall. But they have a sensor back there for one of their security alarms, and I set it off during a show.
That's impressive.
Yeah. And the guy had to come down here at like 10 at night, and he was like, hey, man. He's like, what's going on? I was like, oh, I got a show. I was like, why are you here? I was like, this can't be good. And he was like, he's like, you set off my alarm next door. I was like, really? I was like, I wonder how. Because like the music I was having that night wasn't even that hardcore, wasn't that loud.
It was acoustic.
Yeah. No. I was like, listen, this is poetry night. I don't know what you're talking about. But it was
spoken word.
It was slam poetry. No, the guy was getting really loud. Really
yes.
intense.
That'll do.
No. Yeah, you know, it's just one of those things, like frequencies, it might not even have to be that loud, but I think once something resonates at the right frequency and enough times in a row, it might have just shook the hell out of his wall back there, shook his alarm,
wow.
you know, set it off. And when I actually told Nick that, he was like, whoa, you set that alarm? He's like, you set Joe's alarm off? I was like, yeah. he was like, I've never done it. His name is Joe. It's the big guy next door. I think he's the manager or whatever. He's the big boss. But nice guy. He definitely wasn't happy about having to drive a half an hour, 40 minutes to here to meet, you know, police get called and all that stuff. Your alarm's going off. So, but if you know what? If I've been here 7 months and that's only happened one time, that's so far the worst thing that's happened.
You're doing something right.
Right. That's the worst thing that's happened.
So do you think you have to fix the acoustics here? Like maybe put
I could
up
probably
that sound
do some
padding,
more,
you think?
Yeah, soundproofing for sure. So whenever you want to write me that check, give me the funding, come in, install it. I want it designed by you if possible.
Yeah. Well,
and
because of this podcast,
like,
we're going to be able to afford
absolutely. He's
going to
make millions.
Yes. Yeah.
Absolutely. Also, one of the other struggles of owning the local music venue, I just don't know what to do with all the cash I make.
Yeah.
You know,
that Rolls Royce out there looks pretty bomb.
I know, man. I know.
Heard you're paying the Stones to come and play a few songs.
Pretty much.
Yes.
$3 million. I need to find
playing a
ways
birthday party.
To spend my money.
Playing your birthday party.
Yeah.
Dave Matthews is opening.
Yeah. That wouldn't be that bad.
No,
that would
be
interesting.
Awesome. I'd come to see that.
And I can't stand Dave Matthews. I would definitely show up for that.
Yeah. Well, Carter Buford's a great drummer. It's worth it.
Yes.
He's awesome.
Dude, he's sick.
He really is one of the best drummers.
You got to play with the golf gloves after that.
Yeah. So anyway, so to finish, so I think we're still on this first question.
Yes.
But that just shows how great your question was, Dan. So just
so many intricate
there.
Layers.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So what made me decide to do this? So the real story is I've been unemployed for a bit, and I had some money saved up that I was living off of because I was lazy, and I was just trying to put off getting another job, you know, because I was dissatisfied with, I worked at UPS for 10 years. I had enough. I quit.
Wow.
It's not the most fun job.
No,
for
I would
anyone
assume
who's
so.
Worked there. It's not fun.
No.
And I wasn't advancing anymore, and raises were getting less and less every year. And I was like, all right, it's time to leave. And I worked at a 24-hour fitness center for 4 years as well. And it was about time that ended, though, actually, to be completely honest, because that's how I am. I actually got fired. We don't need to get into how that happened. I completely disagree with it, though, because I was an excellent employee. And
when the mics come off, you are telling that story.
It was honestly, it was total BS in the end. Without giving it away fully and making people never want to come to my venue again or talk to me, no, it's not that bad. I didn't actually do anything.
Where'd you take a shit?
No, but yo,
where'd
every
you leave
once
the upper
in
decker?
A while, kids did do that. kids did do that, like in a shower or something like that.
Oh.
Yeah. And you're just like, really? Someone had to, like, this is nowhere near the
It's
toilet.
Like probably like a protein shake shit too.
So I don't
like
know.
All over the place.
Yeah. Not good.
Liquidy.
Yeah.
This, ugh. Oof. Bringing back bad memories.
Yeah. So
guys.
Anyways, you worked at the gym.
So I'm not at the gym anymore. And so I didn't have a job for over a year, but I'd saved up a lot of money, and I'm not a big spender. You know, I made it last.
Mm-hmm.
And I got to a point where I was realizing, okay, I'm running out of money. I need a job, or I need to do something with this money. And my dad's always been telling me for years anyway, you know, he's like, why do you keep working these jobs? Why don't you start a business? My dad had a business for a long time. He was mm-hmm. a photographer, did that for a very long time. And I told him, well, look, I'm not interested in taking over your photography business. And he's like, I know, we've established that. He's like, but what do you want to do? He's like, why don't you do something with music? You love music. You always want to do something with music. And I thought about it. I was like, you know, and he's right. I really should do something with music. I've loved music forever. Why are my jobs not music? I had enough money in the bank to, you know, get equipment and open up a place.
Mm-hmm.
It actually was because of Facebook. A bunch of kids, you know, mutual friends were making posts like, Canvas Clash has been closed for about a year now. I see the for rent sign. And I was thinking the same thing. I was like, I always see that for rent sign. I always go, man, that was cool. Canvas Clash was there. It's too bad nothing's ever opened up.
Yeah.
And like a store actually took this place over, paid rent for a year, never moved in, never opened up. They had a bunch of crap in here on the side.
So it was maybe a storage place.
Essentially.
Yeah.
So they paid rent for a year, never opened, and finally, they were ready to get out, so the for rent sign came up in here. So I was passing it, and then even my old bass player for HPA, Matt Wilson, even said something about it at one point when he was all like, man, he's like, I was him, his wife. We're talking about it. They were like, he was like, honestly, if I thought I have enough money, I'd open up that spot in Boone. It's such a cool little place. It's such a cool spot. He's like, I feel like there should be a music venue there.
Absolutely.
And I, at the time, wasn't thinking about it. I was like, yeah, dude, you should do it. That's a really cool idea. I didn't think, oh, I should probably tell Matt. I'll help you out. I'll do it too. I wasn't at that place in time.
Of course.
Move back here and open the venue.
Right. So, dude, if Matt moved back, I'd gladly be his partner. Matt's the man, dude. And I'd like for him to... Please come back, Matt, if you're listening.
When
Matt,
to tell you're listening, right?
Matt,
come back.
Come home.
Come back.
You can come back to HPA. If you don't want to come back to HPA, that's cool, man. You can be my partner at Boone Tunes.
Boone Tunes is your home.
Yeah, come Boone back. Tunes wants you.
Good for your home.
Justin loves you. But seriously, though, no, Matt, great guy. If you guys don't know him, he's a really super awesome guy. Amazing musician. So that was an idea from him. And then these kids on Facebook started making posts too, saying, hey, you know, let's open up the old Canvas Clash or let's reopen this place.
Mm-hmm.
And they were talking about, oh, if enough of us do it, we could all put in money. And I was all like, that's not going to work.
Oh, yeah, I remember seeing like.
Do you remember seeing that? There was a point, like about a year ago, like people were mentioning things. So then I thought about it. I was like, you know what? I was like, someone's going to either take that spot or I'm going to do it. I was like, because that is a good idea.
Yeah.
I was like, that was a cool spot. It is in a great location, and I do live right here. I live 2 minutes away. I was like, that would be perfect. Awesome. I was like, that would be so cool. So I actually was hanging out with a couple old friends, and they were asking me, you know, none of us had seen each other for a long time. So they were all like, so what have you been up to, Justin? I was like, not much, actually. I haven't had a job for a while. I need one so soon, but I really don't want to just go back and do a normal thing. I've been working normal jobs for a long time, and none of them have satisfied me.
Yeah.
And they were like, well, maybe open a business. I was like, well, I was actually thinking about taking over that old Canvas Clash spot on Boone Main Street, you know, open up like a music venue, maybe music store / music venue, whatever. So my friend who was there at the time was like, dude, vinyl's big. Why don't we open up a vinyl record store / music venue? He's like, my friend in Long Island does it. And I was like, huh. I was like, I never thought of that. I was like, that's kind of cool, kind of like a combo. So like, whether you're having a show or not, people can come. They can browse through vinyl, buy it if they want. If not, at least it's still cool to have here and look through.
Yeah.
Or during shows, it's still out. It's still here. So people always look through my vinyl before the show starts, and bands are here early, or bands and fans are here early. Right away, people are like, whoa, cool records. They might not have even known, you know, that the venue has records. They might just think, oh, we're going to a hole in the wall.
Exactly.
Which I am, essentially.
More or less.
But, yeah. It's a nice hole, though.
Yes.
It's a well-lit hole.
It's a more... greater than more than less.
Yeah, and the more people you stuff in this hole, the better it feels.
Especially with that mood lighting right behind
you. Absolutely.
So you're open during the day to sell vinyls?
You know, I am, but only when I can be here, because I do basically run the place by myself. So I teach drum lessons twice a week.
How much you charge for people out there?
I can't say that.
For people out there?
Why, you want lessons?
No, just say, well, yeah.
I've seen your playing, bro.
I need to learn from the master. I need to learn from the master. But if you wanted to advertise yourself, what
would you? Well, I wouldn't even mention price.
So you're adjustable?
It's not actually, it's a set price, and it's not actually even just determined by me, but I actually work for Soul Search Records in Mountain Lakes.
Oh, okay.
They're located on, I want to say it's Midvale? Yeah, it's Midvale. If you know where the train station in Mountain Lakes is, there's this place that used to be called the Mountain Lakes Market forever. Right now it's called Hapgoods. It's in a bunch of office buildings there. There's like a dentist's office, which is actually one of the women who works there. All her kids take lessons there. I teach the littlest girl, Reese. Oh. She's 6 years old. I teach her daughter, and then her other two daughters are learning guitar and voice and piano. So it's actually really cool. They all come at once to
nice
take lessons.
Nice musical family.
Yeah. I even told them, I was like, listen, when everyone gets a little bit better, we need to get this band going.
It's the Dave Von Trapps.
It's going to be awesome. And all the kids are super sweet, really, really nice. Parents, really, really awesome, really, really nice.
Oh, that's great.
And they're all actually quite talented. So, and they're all super sweet, really, really cute. And they would actually be really funny to watch, for sure. I'm looking forward to it. But yeah, so that's really what happened. Essentially, it just got to the point where I realized, you know, just talking with my friends, like, I either need to do this now. I mean, I'm 33 years old. You know, I'm going to be 34 in May.
Damn, he's old.
Hey. But do I look old? Do I look old?
You look very young.
Damn right I do. So, yeah.
I thought you were 24.
Maybe I am. yeah, because I lie about my age. I want people to think I'm older. that works for me.
So we see that you've actually upgraded the place. Do you think that was your idea before you opened it, that you wanted to improve upon what was here previous? Or, like you said, you don't want to make it the Canvas Clash. Did you want to improve it?
You know what? Right off the bat, my idea was, it was pretty loose. It was really just a matter of, okay, I'm going to get all the equipment I own. I got a lot of musical equipment. I'm going to, with my friend at the time, we had access to a lot of vinyl. So that we knew we'd be able to purchase a good amount to get started to be a store. And we really just kind of slapped it together. You know, we thought about it a little bit, but realistically, like, and I'm really hands-on type of guy, I was like, honestly, I don't even want to plan too much until I physically get to step foot in there and get a feel for the size of the place, you know, get a vibe and, you know, just check it out. So it actually doesn't look that much different now than it did when we first got in here. I've updated a few things. I've improved upon them.
Was there carpet before?
There's always been carpet in here. Uh-huh.
But this is new carpet.
This is new. They had, originally, the carpet was actually the reason that I didn't get in here until 12 hours before our ribbon cutting for our opening. So we literally had to get everything in here the night before our opening. Wow. I mean, like thousands of pounds of equipment, set everything up. Thankfully, a lot of friends and family helped us the next day to get everything together. Our opening day was crazy. It was a lot of fun. We had a band come play.
Was it Hot Pink Apocalypse?
It was not Hot Pink Apocalypse. It was not Pink Apocalypse.
Oh.
It was HPV.
Oh, God. Right back to that again, man.
It always comes full circle on this show.
Yeah. I'm glad that that's what's on our minds. Maybe it's on your mind because you need to see the
doctor. It's because I'm staring at the Hot Pink Apocalypse sign. HPV.
Yeah. You know what's really awesome? I swear, I think that's been up there since day one.
Really?
I think so. Huh. My bass player, Steve, put that up.
Yeah, now I think you need to just paint HPA on the walls.
Well, you know what?
Have the lights. Boom.
That was actually one of the questions that I think John had sent me earlier, something about how do I balance being in a band and being the venue owner.
How do you do that?
I got a good memory. Yes. So how do I do that? So even the Hot Pink Apocalypse thing on my wall, though most people think it's cool, I'm very selfless. Like, I was even to the point where I was like, I don't want my band's thing up on the wall like that. Like, oh, you know, I'm the business owner, right? You know, this is my venue. This isn't my spot.
You don't want
to
promote.
Yeah, like, I'm not trying to promote my band out of here, although it makes sense. I should, right?
Yeah,
but this place is for everybody, right? Like, the reason I'm here legitly isn't because I'm trying to make a lot of money. Let's be honest. Like, small local music venue, it could take me 10 years to really have the networking and the consistent shows and everything worked out perfectly to really be making legit money. Yeah. So, right off the bat, most people will tell you, hey, if you want to make money, don't have a career in music.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, don't be in a band. I say that all the time.
Right. Don't be in a band. Don't pick music as a career.
Do that on the side.
Right.
Yeah.
So right off the bat, you know, do I struggle a little bit for myself here? I do. You know, I'm able to pay my rent. I'm able to pay my bills. I don't pay myself. I feel like, does that sound bad to say that? No, it does. And there's nothing wrong with admitting that. And most people said your first year as a business owner, you may not make any money.
You don't make money. Yeah.
Because here's the thing. Even if I do come out ahead, let's say I make $1,000 extra after I pay all my bills. I can't pocket that $1,000 because, well, now I got to replace this. I got to fix that. I got to pay this guy that because he did this for me. I owe this person that. And I do have other expenses on my own that do need to keep up on, right? I mean, I do still have my own life. I do sometimes actually do things. So I do use the money here and there. So I guess that kind of does go into my pocket. But, like, I'm not banking money. I'm not pocketing lots of money. I put everything back in here. Like, all those lights and stuff over there, they cost money.
Absolutely.
All the records and things here, they cost money. Everything here costs money. Maintenance of the place just costs money. You know, things break. I got to replace them. So all of that I'm trying to improve upon as I make money. I'm not trying to pay myself until I feel like this place is everything I want it to be. It could take me 2 years being here before I go, okay, I finally bought everything I want. If I was loaded and I had like 50 grand in the bank right now, yeah, okay, great. I could just drop 20 grand and put everything here I want, you know?
Yep.
And that's not even that much when it comes to musical equipment and lighting.
Oh, no.
So, like, at this point, even 20 grand probably wouldn't be enough. So, and I don't have that money. So, you know, the little bit that I make every month, you sure as hell it's going right back into this place.
Absolutely.
But as far as balancing being in a band and being a venue owner, business owner, does my band play here? Yes. Obviously, I book pretty much all the shows that happen here, unless an outside promoter wants to put on a show or a guy in the band says, hey, I got a lineup. Okay, yeah, you know, they put the show on, so I don't do that much work. I'm not going to put my band on that bill. But if I'm putting a show together and I know that I need another band or two and it's the right night, you know, yeah, I am going to put my band on. Why not?
Absolutely.
You know what I mean? And I don't think there's anything wrong with that. And I don't overdo it by any means. We don't play more than once a month here. In fact, at this rate, we've probably only been playing like every 2 months here. And I told the guys recently, too, I feel like I should play once a month here. You know, I have somewhere around 9, 10, 11, 12 shows a month, maybe more. It's not that big of a deal if HPA takes one 30-minute spot, you know? And we've actually had some really awesome events here. We had one of my friend's bands. It's called Emergency Breakthrough. He's actually from Booton here, Sean. Really sick band, by the way. He wanted to put on a Halloween show. He's like, I love Halloween. He's like, let's do a Halloween party.
Yeah.
I was like, for sure, dude. Awesome. That sounds awesome. I've never seen your band. He's like, yeah, I want it to be you, my bro's band, and HPA. I was like, dude, that sounds awesome. So it was awesome, dude. He brought in all these props, all the decorations, like really cool
really
stuff.
Really went all out.
They really did, man. We have a video up on YouTube of on our HPA YouTube of one of our jams. And you can see, like, the ghost in the corner and, like, the webs and big spot. It was just super awesome, dude. Everyone had a great time. It's really cool. And, like, that made perfect sense that my band do that, you know? But I would never, like, selfishly be like, oh, man, there's this really big band coming through. There's going to be a lot of people. Let me stick HPA right before their set. And you know, that's just like, okay, that's a douchey move, you know? So, like, I wouldn't do something like that.
In order to play here, my band's got to play first.
Right, right. And you know, and well, some people are like that, but
yeah,
you know what?
Exactly.
I'm not like that at all. You know, I don't need to use this place to boost my band. If I can, and I can find the right way to do it, then I will. And I do, you know what I mean?
Absolutely.
I make posts about HPA and I do tag Boon Tunes, but every other band that plays here tags Boon Tunes too. So I'm not actually doing anything different than any other band that's playing here. And by no means do I treat any band any different than I would my own band. Well, actually that's not true at all. Hold on. Let me take that back. I'm a lot nicer to every other band than I probably am to my own band sometimes.
That's the way I think we all are.
Yeah. Sometimes during band practice, you know, it's not all hugs and kisses. But, you know,
in the end,
it is. Yeah. So, you know, I look at HPA as another local band doing what everyone else out there is doing. And I try to put us right on the same level. You know, I don't want to, you know, the whole idea of opening this place was, you know, to give the kids up the street who can't even drive to play a show.
Yeah.
A place to play. Like, I remember being 15 and what it was like to play a show. My
was
mom.
In the 30s?
My mom drove me. Yeah.
In the 30s.
Not quite. They actually.
Hoverboard.
Yeah. Yeah.
I had the jitterbug phone.
I actually wasn't even playing on
we
drums
cranked
at the
phone.
Time. I was playing on. I just had. You ever seen that? Oh, man. Remember that post that came out with, like, the wooden drum set? like a year or two ago.
Wooden drum set.
Oh, it was like the best post ever. It looked so cool. Someone made a drum set out of, I said that wrong, not wood, like logs.
Yeah, I remember.
It was so awesome, dude. Like they carved them and chopped them and everything. It looked like a drum set. It was so sick. But anyway, that's a, now my first drum set was actually made out of wood because that's what all drum sets are made out of.
But they're good. Aren't the acrylic ones different?
Huh?
The acrylic ones, the see-through, they're different.
Yeah, it's true. Like my Ludwig over there.
Yeah, see?
Yeah. I don't know how good that sounds.
Yeah, exactly.
I think there's something about wood that just, you know what I mean?
You need it. Yeah, you need wood.
And you know what sucks, too? Just to not go on a tangent. All right, guys, hold on. But, yeah, what they were saying about drum sets now, even, like, a lot of the drum sets are being made. They will have a nice outer look, but even so, they'll use, like, either cheaper wood on the inside, and it'll be like, oh, it looks like birch on the outside, but it's not solid birch. Like, my sonar kit down there, that's a solid wood birch kit. But, like, now you can find cheaper drum sets. Like, okay, wow. I'm like, wow, that's a nice-looking drum set for $500. I'm like, I'm amazed. Mm-hmm. But then, you know, the guy in the store is like, oh, yeah, it's because it's POS. You know? Yeah. It's very cheaply made. Everything on it is basically to fool you. It really does look super nice. But it's really just wrapped in nice.
So the looks are deceiving.
Right.
Yes.
Right. So the quality's not going to be there. The tone's not going to be there. The longevity that the drums should last are not going to be there. But yeah, I almost forget what we were talking about at the time, but I guess it was the balancing HPA.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Well, actually, what I wanted to bring it back to in the same question that we were discussing this earlier, I thought it was funny you mentioned that you put the money back into the venue.
Yeah.
What I think we should talk about is it's funny that you go to all these places, you know, like, oh, this band plays here, that band plays here, oh, this band's playing here. But you still technically walk in there and it's still kind of like a dump. So, like, the floors are dirty, the bathrooms are disgusting.
And they're making a lot more money than
this. Exactly. Yeah. So it's just funny to hear a small venue say that they're putting money back into this to fix this or put this in here, yet the bigger venues are obviously making money. Dude, it's like you can't sweep the floor.
Right.
You can't mop, clean the bathroom.
It's laziness.
By far, the Boontoons has the cleanest bathroom of the local venues.
Yes. I appreciate that, guys. Just so you know, I have Fraser Fur soap. That is not cheap stuff, okay? That came from Grassroots in Denville, all right? And it smells like pine needles. It's wonderful.
It does smell very good.
I know. It's towards the bottom, too. I'm getting really sad.
Uh-oh.
I know. I might have to get another one. But yeah, well, you know, I did clean professionally for 4 years at that gym, so that's also part of why my bathroom is so clean. But at the same time, I've just always been that way. Like, if you're going to have people over, you know, inviting friends over, and there's piles of dirty dishes, and your room smells, and there's trash overflowing, and, you know,
you take pride in your house and whatever you own.
Right. So, like, if I'm going to have people come to my venue, yes, I want that bathroom to smell good and look good and actually be clean.
I just find it funny. You don't feel embarrassed that people are coming to your place, your venue,
there's
and your
to
bathroom smells
about.
Like piss. No, I'm not talking about you.
Oh, yeah,
but like these places, like you walk in,
right.
Your bathroom smells like piss. Like,
and that's what's going to stick in your mind when you leave.
Yeah. You're going to be horrified if you have to take a shit.
Right. Dude, any show I've ever played, never done it. Only if it's like emergency. Mm-hmm. I hold it, man.
You got to squat over it. You can't touch it.
I know one venue. That was horrendous.
Mm-hmm. I try not to eat while I'm at a show because, like, typically show food isn't the best either.
Nope.
So, like, the last thing I want to do is eat, like, a really nasty meal before I play a set. Mm-hmm. Like, that's just what I need before I'm going to bang on the drums. Like, no thank you.
Grease and fat.
Yeah, and dude. Comes right out.
You just feel the rumbles in the stomach.
Yeah,
like,
oh, man. Yeah, no way, dude.
T-minus 60 seconds. Go.
Yeah. Like, what am I going to do in the middle of a set if I really got to go that bad?
Well, you could just go right behind the drum kit.
Yeah. just slide back a few inches.
No one would know.
They wouldn't know anyway because the venue's already such a mess.
Exactly.
Right?
This place. Boontoons, located in the heart of Boonton, New Jersey.
Oh, thank you. I really appreciate how you, every time you say Boontoons, it's located in the heart of New Jersey.
Heart of Boonton, New Jersey.
Heart of Boonton, New Jersey.
You go to the heart of New Jersey, you're going like Starland area.
Yeah. True.
And at least you didn't say it's located in the slums of New Jersey.
No, it's not. No, this is a lovely town.
It's a great area.
This is a historic town.
Very good restaurants. Chili Willy's. Sharky's over there. Sharky's, right?
It is, yep.
Yeah.
Dude, the Thai nice food bar. Restaurant. Love the Thai food restaurant. Oh my God, their Thai iced teas are so freaking
good. Dude, Thai iced teas are amazing.
They're so good.
If you have never tried a Thai iced tea, you...
Yeah, for anyone who's listening,
have to.
Please,
I'm telling you,
have a Thai iced tea.
Dude, first time I got a Thai iced tea at the Thai food place, which obviously...
Some people think they're nasty, though. They're not into the flavor.
Is it like a bubble tea type of thing, or no?
No. No.
Dude, it tastes... Dude, it's weird
star anise. That is the... I guess it's an herb? I want to say it is. It's star anise. It is a strange flavor, but by strange, I just mean different and unique. So it's not a bad flavor, but like most people who are used to eating your everyday boring crap, well, it's just like trying to introduce somebody who's used to eating, you know, sushi for the first time. Mm-hmm. You know, they're going to think, okay, first off, that's weird. It looks weird. Kind of smells weird. And then they taste it and they go, oh, that's weird. But then guess what? Maybe you do it another time. You can be, you know what? This is awesome. But a lot of people are not into them, though. Mm-hmm. I don't know why. They need to be made right, though, because they can be too strong and not sweet enough, or it could be too sweet.
Mm-hmm. The first time I had one, I drank it so fast I had to get another one.
I always get two.
It was so good.
Dude, it's impossible to have one. It's impossible.
I love that. Did they put it in the tall, skinny glass, too, over here, or no?
You know what? I think it's a little lower cut.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Bastards.
Do you like tall and skinny?
Oh, yes, I do. I know. No, that's just
I'm 5'10", 160 pounds.
Oh, wink, wink. I'm sorry.
almost yeah.
Not the right gender, though.
Too. Sorry.
Well, how do you really know, Dan?
I don't know.
You don't really know until...
Exactly.
Until it's too
until
late.
Until you know.
I've seen you here with your shirt off, though, and you don't have tits.
That's true. You know what I just realized? That my green tea has been sitting here since the start. Actually, it's still warm. Hey, look at that.
Wow. I thought it'd be iced green tea by now.
No, it's not bad. I'm gonna have a sip.
There you go. So going back to the band and the venue,
mm-hmm.
do you feel that, you know, when you book another place for Hot Pink,
mm-hmm.
are you starting to think of things that other bands did when you try to book them here that, all right, I used to do this. Now I don't want to do this anymore because, you know, the promoter probably thinks it's an asshole move. Like, did you get better acquainted?
Do I have some more insight now, being a venue owner with a little more experience?
Uh-huh.
You know, I don't think much has actually changed about myself. I've kind of always been the guy that I am and typically act the way that I act for quite some time now.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I don't really do anything different. I don't act bossy for any reason to think that I'm special now because I have a venue. Because let's be honest, I'm the newest, smallest little venue around. You know what I mean? So, like, you know, I appreciate all their, you know, things online saying, oh, we love your place. Your place is the best. Oh, we love playing there. Like, I still say thank you, you know, but I'm just a normal guy, you know, and I've kind of always been that way. Like, I'm not trying to be like, oh, I'm super cool. You know, I'm not going to walk down the street with my chest out now because I own Boom
Oh, my
Tunes.
God, there's Justin. He owns Boom
Tunes. Justin! Woo! Actually, that happens.
We actually need to get your autograph.
It does.
Yes.
All right. Get it now. I'll give it to you for free.
Before we offend you somehow.
Yeah.
But in a couple months when this place blows up, it's going to cost money.
Hey, you know what? Maybe we shouldn't say it now.
Oh, God forbid.
People know
up.
Our plan, but like, I should just make a bunch of autographed pictures. And then when I am really huge, which is inevitable, we sell them on eBay. Make a ton of money. I'll split it with you guys.
And then that Rolls Royce that's invisible outside will become reality.
I'll finally be able to pay. Yeah.
Wink, wink.
But yeah, no. So you know what? There is probably some things without me realizing that I've done. But if anything, one thing I can say is I might be a little more timely with answering promoters or responding to a venue or responding to a band, perhaps, let's say, because now I see how important it is to communicate well. And most of us know that already. Yeah. Communication is key. I'm realizing now that, like, time matters. Like, if you're a band and you need to play in 3 weeks and you have a date in mind, you know, you ask someone, hey, can you please check this date for me? Can I play? Or, hey, get back to me. Let me know if that date's available. If I get lazy and I don't answer someone for a couple days, like, that is super unfair. Mm-hmm. They're really expecting an answer back. They want to know about the date. Their whole band, it's not just them, but then their whole band and everything they do in their lives relies on that date and time. And by me being lazy and not answering back, it's really quite unfair. And it also doesn't make for shows happening, you know, more consistently here. Like, so I've noticed that I've gotten better since when I first opened at really answering people quickly. Even if it's just to say, hey, man, I'm actually not sure about that date, but I'll check for you soon. Or, hey, man, I got a lot of messages today. I could even forget, but please message me again later. Bug me again later. I don't mind. It's okay to bug me. Don't feel like you're bugging me. You know, like tonight, I'm sure pretty soon I'll start getting some messages coming through from people earlier today who asked me questions. And I told them, listen, I got a really busy day. I'm sorry, but bug me later. So if anything, it's that. It's definitely really important as a band to answer back people quickly. And the same thing as a business owner in general, it's important for me to answer people back quickly about shows and times and things. But other than that, like, I've always just done the normal thing. You know, I contact most of the time promoters have contacted me about shows.
Mm-hmm.
So I think that luckily when the band started, we played enough shows and had enough friends that were in enough other bands to where we made friends quite quickly with other bands and other venues. And we were a really nice band, too. So, like, I think that helps. In my mind, it helps. Like, when you show up to a show, right?
Yeah.
You say hi to the promoter or whoever's running the show. You be nice with the sound guy, yes. Right? It's just, that's just the thing to do anyway, in my mind. Be respectful,
yeah,
right?
Common courtesy.
Right. Now, as you know, you guys know, dealing with other bands and venues, not everyone has that. And I've learned that here for sure as well. You get a lot of rude people in bands mm-hmm. who either just don't pay attention to the rules, aren't following the rules, don't listen, are purposely breaking the rules. You know, so just yeah. like, so when you see that happening, like, am I going to invite that band back? No way.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? So if you're in a band and you're listening, a good way to not get shows anymore would be disrespectful to the place and to the owner or the people around you where you're playing. Mm-hmm. Because why should they and why would they mm-hmm. want to have you back? That's like having a party at your home, right? Yeah, you know, you're having a tea party. You know, you want to have some tea and crumpets.
Yeah,
you know?
Me and John have tea parties
yeah,
all the time.
Yeah, I know you guys.
Hey,
and I want to know why I haven't been invited yet, okay? I love tea. That is the number one thing for me, though. Having bands back here, I don't care how many fans a band brings. I don't care if a band comes here and sucks. If they were nice and respectful, put on a good show, regardless of maybe talent, but just either way, put on a good show, did their thing, gave it their all, right? I don't care if they brought 10 people or 50 people. Mm-hmm. They were nice. They were respectful. They were kind to me, them and their friends, however many of them may have come to see them, had a good time. That's all I care about. I want bands to feel comfortable here. I want their fans to feel comfortable here, and I want people to have a good time. Mm-hmm. And if I see that happening, that makes me feel good. Mm-hmm. That's all I want to see. I don't see a dollar sign when a band walks through the door. Is there a dollar sign to it? Yes, it matters. The door sales matter. I need bands to bring fans.
Yeah, in the end, it's a business.
It is a business. I do have bills. It does matter. I do need to make money. But is it going to happen every time? It's not. You know, HPA, same thing. We play shows with lots of people, and then the next time we play, there could be almost nobody. You know, it can be hit or miss. You know, mm-hmm. it's not easy being in a local band.
No.
You know, there's a lot of competition for other things. I mean, you could be home, you know, having tea and crumpets like you guys, and you don't want to go out to the show.
Absolutely.
You know?
You barely got us here.
Yeah. If only you knew, I actually have tea and crumpets here waiting for you guys.
But,
yeah, no, I should have left.
Okay, great.
That's a surprise. But seriously, that's what matters to me most. I really am, you know, without trying to, like, toot my own horn, I am really a nice guy. I can be mean just like anyone else.
Yes.
I've got emotions. I make mistakes. I could be freaking crazy. but overall, like, I really do care about people. I really do love people and animals. And animals are welcome at Boontoons, by the way. My opening
Animal
night was
friendly.
Awesome, dude. The opening night was awesome. It was a First Friday. Booton has these things called First Friday.
Uh-huh.
It was a July weekend, so it was super nice out. Beautiful weekend. And there were so many people walking their dogs in and out of here. I loved it. It was awesome. It was awesome. Dogs everywhere. It was great. We were talking about bands being respectful.
Yes.
And like, and this goes for life in general, right? I mean, this goes for jobs, friends, relationships, family, just communication with people or anything, any energy around you. Even if you're by yourself, right? Mm-hmm. You need to put out good energy.
Yeah.
I've had a lot of bands come here that were awesome, played great music, acted like dickheads. You're never coming back. Mm-hmm. And that's it. And I hate to be that way, and I hate to put it that way, but like that just to me is everything. Like, I don't care. Like I said, if you brought 50 people, that's a lot of people to bring to my small place. That's awesome. That's a lot of money for the venue that
Absolutely,
night.
Yeah.
But if I feel uncomfortable by the way you behave, or I see you disrespect somebody else, not even just me, because I can take it. All right, 10 years at UPS, I know what I can get shit on. And I know what you're thinking, Dan. I don't physically mean that. I see you smiling over there. No, seriously, that's gross. No. But, all right, it happened once. It was by accident.
Oh, God.
All right. You know what? I said it wouldn't get like this, and here I am. Microphone's
well, we
on,
off
and I'm talking
HPV,
about
so.
Yes. Yeah, that's true. So seriously, though, it's gross. I would never do that. But, yeah, I know what – let's just say I know how to take a beating. You know what I mean? I'm a pretty tough guy when it comes to hurting my feelings. But then again, I'm kind of OCD and weird. So, like, if you touch something in my room and it's in a different spot, or, like, you change tracks while I'm listening to something in my car, I'm going to freak out. Like, you cut off a leg. You know what I mean? So, you know, but, like, as far as, like, people here, I know how to handle people. I trained people for 10 years at work every day. It's what I did. Training. Dealing with people. Dealing with emotions. Knowing how to handle situations. So I think I'm well built for this venue and this business. Even so, like I said, I don't have to invite a band back. There's no reason to have a band back here. So to me, the most important thing is be respectful. And if I can ask my own question, since now we might as well, if we're not going to take a break soon, or if we do want to take a break or whatever. Take a break. Dad, I saw Danny say it's break time.
If we're going to take a piss, we could just continue, just me and him. Or
no.
You guys could just urinate on yourself.
Well, no, because you said you wanted to take a break before, or if we had to, so.
Well, I think we probably should. Look at how much footage we got, all that good stuff. Actually, it's not really footage, is it? What would we call it then?
It's audio footage.
Is it footage? Is it, though?
It's a recording.
Found audio tapes.
Okay, that was what he says. No, but so anyway, get it. Just because this goes into it, it was one of the questions that you had actually sent me, and I had some answers for it. It goes into... Because I know we're just talking about... Yeah, get that music going, man. What do we got here? Venue issues, blah, blah, blah.
So just a reminder, we are here at wonderful Boontunes in the heart of Boonton, New Jersey, with Justin Dorico, the owner.
And drummer of HPA.
Hot Pink.
But actually, I should say percussionist, because he's got other things going on.
I do. I really do a little bit more than just drumming. I got the rolling pads. I get the cork. I don't use the K-Oscillator anymore, though.
Mm-hmm.
I actually use my low tom now. I hit toms, guys, by the way. You haven't seen the band for a while. I play toms.
Wow.
That's right. I've gotten into it. I'm bringing it back to my roots.
I'm really trying to think. Maybe is that wasn't your normal setup on your first show, was it? Because I remember coming here like, wait, he doesn't have this, he doesn't have that. Like, what is? Maybe it was the low tom. It's like, oh, you're.
I played on the canvas kit that was here, which is exactly basically what you're looking at over there.
I think maybe you're like, oh, I don't play it. I'm like, you don't play. You don't play your.
Exactly. I just I didn't. I keep my beats super simple. Mm. I like to keep my beats simple. I like to focus everything around, you know, snare, hi hat, and kick. I just think that the less I play on, the tighter I can be.
And the best, the better it will be for everybody else.
Yeah, hey, no. Hey, you should hear me. I've gotten better, bro. I really have. I've gotten back to doing my fills. No, what really sucks is that I really wanted to actually talk about something now, because it just felt right. And it was coming out of the question that you asked me, Dan. What was it, though?
Well, we do have editing, so.
Yes.
Agreed, that's true. We should probably cut out a lot of that BS in the beginning. And anything that Dan says.
Yes.
All right, that's fucked up.
Well, actually,
that's fucked up.
I'm just kidding. Oh, here it is.
Oh, you got it. All right, awesome.
Why, you want to take a break?
No, I was going to ask you a question about venues making bands pay to play. And
oh, that's a good question.
Yeah, your feelings on that.
Okay. Cool. And now I see what I was about to get into here, and I will answer your question.
Yeah.
John, I'm going to say, we'll come back to what I was thinking, though, just so we don't forget it. It was things that bands do that I don't like.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, it was one of the questions that you had Facebooked me earlier.
Yeah, we briefly went over that, but yep, we didn't go into detail, which I'd love to do.
Yeah, because actually I have some answers written down, and it's good. And actually it's good, too, because if people actually listen to this crappy show... no, they'll listen.
Oh, this guy.
No, seriously, I'm just bringing
it. So, fuck Boontunes, fuck Booton, New Jersey.
No! Booton, New Jersey, 613 Main Street, 07005. No, seriously, but I'm going to come back to it. So about the pay-to-play thing.
Yeah.
Well, I've been in bands since I was 15.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so I'm 55 now. So
yes. Nice 4 years.
No, seriously.
You opened for the Dead.
Yes. Yeah. Hey, I would open for the
Dead. You had hip replacement?
Dude, honestly, I have a terrible hip. Oh. Bad injury when I was 21. UPS. Thanks, UPS. No joke. My hips, if you even look...
I don't want to look at your hips.
You do. Yeah. You really do. I have to take my pants all the way down for you.
But
to
the question
see
is, do your hips lie? Or
they don't. They never.
Right. There we go.
This is the best thing ever. Seriously, the question that you had is a good one. Pay to play. There are pay to play paces out there. I understand where the venue's coming from.
Mm-hmm.
I do think it makes sense to a degree.
Mm-hmm.
But I think it's really hard to hold the group of kids, you know, playing their maybe like fifth show ever, maybe their first show ever, to bring 20 people, or else you're accountable for all that money.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And that's your average ticket minimum is 20.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Now, see, just because a place has tickets is also one thing. People are like, oh, tickets. Tickets aren't a bad thing. There's nothing wrong with a ticket. What do you do when you guys go to a show? You buy a ticket,
right? It's a guaranteed spot.
Right, it's a guaranteed spot. That makes sense. Tickets make sense. But to tell a band, you know, that's comprised of 3 15-year-olds who barely even know what they're doing yet, that if they don't sell these 20 tickets, they're going to pay for every single one of those.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Now, first off, you can look at this two ways. One, that's a crappy thing to do to a group of kids. Two, that band's making a poor choice for that to be their place to play then, right? Because you could just say, wow, guys, this place says we need to sell 20 tickets to play this show. We can't do that. We can't play the show. So, you know, it's the band's fault at that point for accepting that offer. But then again, if you're a group of kids and you don't really have connections and that's the venue, that one of the only venues you even know about at the time, like, you might think you have no option. So, and I would hope as a business owner that might have that, maybe they'd have a bit more of a heart to be like, hey, guys, you got 5 people here. I know you're a bunch of kids. I'm not going to charge you 2 extra or 300, whatever it's going to be. You know, be like, you know, let's just say don't ever do this again. You learned your lesson.
That's fair.
You know what I mean? Like, and you know what? There probably are people out there who've done that. I've played pay-to-play places, and I'm against it right away just because now it's not even the money that bothers me. It's the need to now feel like it's just about business. Mm-hmm. Like, as a band, I'd really like to just do what I'm supposed to do, which is tell my friends and family and make posts and whatever that there's a show. But I can't force people to come.
No.
I can't be like, hey, man, I really need you to. Like, I'm not going to beg people to come to my show to reach my ticket minimum. You know, and that's just pathetic at that point. I shouldn't be in a band if that's what's going on, you know? Like, that's not the way it should be. So, you know, pay to play, am I against it? I don't want to say it's a bad thing. But then I think the bands need to be, you know, that are accepting these pay to play offers, they need to really take a look and say, all right, one, can we meet this number easily? If you know you can easily meet the number, then it's no stress.
Yes.
I get why bands do it, because you can play a bigger venue. It makes you feel special. Maybe it's opening up for a bigger band. Seems like a great opportunity. I get it. But even so, if you're still kind of a new band and you don't have that many fans, well, then you're probably not that great. Or if you have been around a long time and you don't have enough fans to meet your ticket minimum, then you're probably doing something wrong. Mm-hmm. So playing a show that has a really big band there. So let's say you play in front of 1,000 people before some big headliner comes on.
Yes.
Those 1,000 people don't matter if your set wasn't good and you didn't have the content necessary to grab their attention and make them remember your name, or enough for them to want to check out your Facebook afterwards and hit like, you know? Because let's be honest, that's all it's about, is those likes.
Yes.
It's the only thing that makes me feel good when I wake up in the morning. Did a lot of people like my post? Seriously. You know what? I mean, what do you guys think? You know, you guys are in bands. You do things. You've been doing the music thing. I mean, I, as a business owner, I get it. Ticket minimum, it does make sense. It really does. Mm-hmm. I've never done it here. I don't see myself ever doing it. If I ever do ticketed events, maybe I'll urge people to say, you know, hey, guys, you know, I'd like you to reach 10. Maybe I'll cut it, you know, half. Most venues do 20. Maybe I'll say 10. But if they don't make it, am I going to charge them? No. If anything, lesson learned on my side. Mm-hmm. This band can't bring a lot of fans. Don't book them again. Mm.
I would say most of the venues around here, it's kind of like, it's weird. It's a mixture of pay to play.
It's more DIY
right
now.
It's basically, if you don't meet, if you sold 15 tickets out of 20, you give 5 back. And maybe you'll have a shorter set time. Or
you won't get paid.
You won't get paid, or
which
you won't
is
come
fine.
Back.
I think that's
fair.
Dude,
it's okay. Don't pay me. I'd rather just play the show than not get paid, especially if I only sold 15 tickets.
Right. And what are you going to get paid if you sold those 20 tickets anyway?
$30.
$40. Whoa, yeah. $30. What are you paying? 75 cents? I thought it was... Most places pay out
$2. $2 per ticket.
Yeah.
Unless you hit a certain amount and it jumps up to
$3.
Yeah.
And that makes sense.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
That does make sense. Okay, so let's say a band did have 20 people come.
Yes.
Hey, pay them $2 a ticket. Good. Hey, it's your $40.
But that's the problem when it's $400, when $20 a ticket, and the band's only getting $40 out of that.
Right.
Yeah.
So that's the thing. So my shows here, other than some shows that I've had that are run by other people, mm-hmm. are my shows are always 10. Sometimes I have $5 shows. I've never gone to 12. So a few shows I've had here, they're one of the guys, Anthony, you guys might even recognize his name, Anthony Cabrera. He runs ACI Entertainment.
Oh, yes, yes.
Nice kid. Nice kid. Puts on good shows, puts on a lot of shows, been doing it for a while. He'll do 12 mostly, but he gets some bigger bands. Mm-hmm. So, but all my shows here are 10 bucks. So, you know, I'm paying out 20% off that, you know, no matter what, to the bands. I think it's fair.
Oh, yeah.
I came up with that based on, you know, what I've learned from playing shows myself and what I think is fair and what I can, what I need to do to operate. Mm-hmm. You know, I mean, now I'm giving you two out of my $10, then I have a door person. What if I have another person here? Then all my toilet paper, all my hand tissues, the time I need to spend cleaning up afterwards, the time I spent cleaning up before, which the time I spend online, yeah. Which I actually do. So that's actually quite fair. I put mad hours into this place. I really do.
You do, and it shows.
I really do.
It's great.
Yeah, and I really do care. And like, you know, and I think that's the difference, not to like start getting back into like what I think I'm awesome at. I think that really is a big difference because Dan was mentioning before, like you go into these venues that could be really awesome, that have big, you know, have lots of shows, have lots of, and have the money and capabilities for sure to clean up at least, right?
Yeah.
And they're not doing it because they just don't care. And that's why I think a lot of kids in these bands or even adults say that they really like Boomtunes more than almost any other place they've played. Or they'll be like, a lot of people halfway through their set will be like, this is the coolest place we've ever played. Mm-hmm. Now, I find that hard to believe because it's a really simple place. But I think what they're getting at is they feel really cool
here. Yeah. Do you think
they feel great here? It is clean. They say it smells good. Wow, look how cleaner. Oh, wow, look how bright it is. Wow, those lights are cool. Wow, you're really an awesome, nice guy. Really nice to meet you. I'd love to play here again. You know, like I'm Boomtunes. This space here. This is nothing. There's no, this is just, that's just crap I got off Amazon over there.
Right? Yeah.
So, you know, and Guitar Center. Ugh, Guitar Center. God, we should have gone to Richie's. Thank you, Richie's are the best store ever. But I needed to go to Guitar Center. I need to get a credit card and get a lot of stuff that I didn't have. But seriously.
didn't have the money
too. You know, without trying to sound, you know, like I said, special, Boomtunes is me. I'm Boomtunes. You know what I mean? This place is a reflection of me. The things that do happen here, the vibe that happens here, is me. Now, is it all me? Hell no. So let's not go too far to say that Boomtunes is me. Boomtunes is me, and it's everybody who walks through that door. It's the guy late at night who wants to come in and stumble down the road from Johnny's and look at some records. And it happens once in a while.
Yes.
Ugh, they stay so long, and they always rearrange my stuff, and then they don't buy anything. But seriously, even those guys are welcome, right? But, like, it's, you know, every person who comes here adds to the vibe, right? It's an energy. Some nights here, even if it's music that I don't particularly enjoy, and I love all music to a degree, you know? But honestly, there's some nights here I'm like, it's not my thing, you know? Mm-hmm. But I see everyone having a really great time, and the bands are all super nice, super respectful. Know how to use their equipment. Say thank you a bunch of times to me, how happy they were to come and play. And that makes the night for me. It's not even about the music at that point. It's about the people. It's about the vibe. It's the energy. Any show you go to, it's about the energy. I go to a ton of shows. Imagine if you were in a crowd that wasn't moving, period. Everyone's just standing still. Now, unless you're watching like a symphony, you know, you're sitting in a seat and it makes sense to be quiet and just sit there, that's fine. But, like, seriously, what makes a show awesome, other than, like, we were talking about before, lights, right? Mm-hmm. It's the energy. It's the vibe. The people next to you, you're feeding off their energy. I'm not big into dancing, and you won't catch me dancing very often. I will bob my head. I'm a drummer. Maybe I'll tap my hands. Maybe I'll kind of dance, if you want to call it dancing. I don't want to call it dancing.
You might bust it's a not, move or two.
Yeah, exactly. I like
bust
how you said
hip,
that.
Actually.
Very robotic. I've already busted my hip. It's so bad. I need a rub later, Dan, just so you know.
Yo, where's that hot tub at?
Yo, I got to get the Boomtunes sauna. It's the energy that matters. So, like, if I'm at a show, you know shows start, too. Like, it doesn't get pumped out right away. Even if a band opens up and starts kicking ass right away. It still takes a little bit to see the crowd warm up, right? Next thing you know, the dude next to you's got a smile on their face. You catch a smile from them, you smile. The band hits an awesome part, everyone's like, yeah! Next thing you know, everyone's loving it. So it's almost less about the music and it's about the energy, right? But then again, your music can't completely suck.
That's true.
You know, because that's another thing before we take a break, because I know we definitely should now because we've been going quite some time, though now it's hitting me. Another thing that I think is weird about some of the bands out there right now that put too much focus into the showmanship and not enough
into the music.
Into the music, yeah. Exactly. Like, to me, the number one thing should be the sound, right? I mean, how do most people listen to music? You don't watch the music video, do you? You put a CD, or, well, I can't believe I said CD. I'm a loser. Take
tape.
Note, everybody.
Put on
I
tape.
Said CD.
Put on the tape.
But especially when you sell vinyl.
Yeah.
Although that's something else I'd like to ask you, the comparison between vinyl and CD, but...
Okay, well, we'll get there for yes. sure. So what I was saying, now I totally forgot.
Well, people listen to
the sound,
the song.
Perfect. Yes. So music, right? Stuff. When you think of music, what do you really think of? You think of what you hear, right? Mm-hmm. Music, although it is vibrations, yes, you can feel it. Do deaf people still go to concerts? Probably, mm-hmm. because why not, right? Because yeah. it's still fun to be a part of it, and maybe you can almost hear it. Or maybe it is good to feel
maybe, yeah,
the
maybe
energy.
You feel the beat.
And look, they can't hear, right? But then their other senses are heightened. Mm-hmm. So they're going to feel that energy one way or another. And that's all everything is in the end anyway, right? It's energy. Everything's energy. So whether you're hearing it or not, you're at least feeling it. You're seeing it. You're a part of it. So these bands come here, and they bring in these huge amps that barely fit through my door. they take not forever to set up, but okay, you know, obviously you didn't read my info sheet that I sent out that said, please use my stuff and don't bring anything in until yeah. you check in with me. No, right away it's just boom, 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 you're bringing in thousands of pounds of equipment and all that stuff. I'm like, oh, great, love this band already. The problem with it is that at least I'm like, all right, you got these huge amps, you brought in all this stuff. I want to see a kick-ass show. Just because you got big-ass amps and super expensive guitars and you can jump in the air really high doesn't mean you're going to play good music. So these bands that come in and just put on a crazy act, but their music's no good, in my mind, that's all wrong.
You need balance.
You really do. And there is a balance because you also don't want to be a band that literally just stands
there.
Yeah. So there is a balance. But in my mind, your music should kick ass, mm-hmm. first and foremost. I think that's what matters. When you go into a studio and you record a track, people are listening to it, and they're not seeing you. And when someone really one of the best ways to listen to music is to close your eyes and be where you want to be, right? You know, use your imagination at that point. You know, sit back, relax, put on some music, close your eyes. It doesn't matter what the people in the band look like. There's some of my favorite bands. I won't even look into what they look like. Or where they're from. I might even look up what their name is. I don't care. I just love the music. I think what we see should be the least important thing. Least important thing. Tell that to a blind person. Oh, you're not going to enjoy the show. These guys, they really put on a great show. I'm pretty sure that they're going to love the show more than everyone who can see.
Heightened hearing.
Right, yeah. The hearing. So to me, it's all about sound. All about sound. I do agree there should be a balance. Daniel, there should be some performance. But absolutely, I gotta say that the sound and what you're playing to me matters the most. For sure.
Yeah. So I guess this will be a great time to take a quick little break.
Yes, but John, before we take a break, we should mention that we're here with Justin DiRico over at Boontunes in the heart of Boonton, New Jersey, at 613 Main Street.
Even though this whole thing is going to get edited out in
it. Damn it! I thought, oh my god, it's the only reason I agreed to this.
Mm-hmm.